The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Hallelujah. We thank God for being an ever-present help in the time of trouble. No matter what time of day, no matter where you are, all you need to do is call on his name. And even though I hear about him being on the sideline, I thank God for his intervention. For even when we didn't have sense enough to call on him, he reached down and he rescued us. And he kept us. He kept us from some stuff that we have no idea. Some danger seen and unseen. Matter of fact, I thank God that he has not revealed everything that has come against me. Come on, somebody. Amen. 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 And I'm grateful to God. There's some things that even just he and I know about that he's protected me from and rescued. But that's not just my testimony. That's all of our testimony. Amen. Father God, we come in the name of Jesus. If you be for us, who can be against us? As a matter of fact, if you be for us, you are more than the whole world against us. And for that, we say thank you. We thank you, Lord, for blessings that are too numerous to name. For you being better to us than we deserve. For you being better to us than we could ever be to ourselves. And as good as we try to be towards one another, we can never be that good. You are a good God and you are a great God and you are greatly to be praised. And so we praise you right now. We honor you. We reverence your holy name. We worship you in spirit and in truth. Father God, we recognize that you didn't just look beyond our faults and supply all of our needs. You looked right at them, and you blessed us anyhow. It was grace and mercy that has been following us all the days of our lives, and it is grace and mercy that will follow us until we get home to be with you. But Lord, while we're on this side of time, we just simply ask that you would be with us, that you would keep us in the hollow of your hand. Now, Lord, while we're come to this point of the worship service, we need to hear a word from you. So as I stand as your vessel, be ever so pleased to stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my mouth. As a matter of fact, dear God, hide me that you would be seen and silence me that you would be heard. For Lord, you said that my sheep know my voice. And not only do we know your voice, Lord, you said they follow me. We want to be followers of you. Touch right now some man, some woman, some boy or girl who needs a touch, a healing touch, a caring touch. They just need you to touch them, Lord, just to let them know that you have never left them nor forsaken. For when we find those days and times when we find ourselves alone, let somebody know that they can never be lonely as long as you are with them. This is our prayer, and it is truly in Jesus' name and for Christ's sake that we pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen. If you're physically able to stand, we're going to ask that you please do so as we read the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11 is from whence the word of God will come. Hebrews 11, starting with the 23rd verse. I'll be reading this morning from the New American Standard Bible. If you're choosing to pull it down on your app or trying to read it in digital, it would be the NASB, the New American Standard Bible. It reads, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land. And the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. Passage of scripture that we may have read before in this hallowed portion of scripture of the chapter of Hebrews. But when we read it, as you all know me, when God sends us to a passage, we want to know, Lord, what are you saying to me? What are you saying about me? And what is it that you would have me to know as a part of my life application? So on today, with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider the subject, lessons from Moses' life of ways for creating and achieving an inner peace that endures. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Lessons from Moses' life of ways for creating and achieving an inner peace that endures. I realize, my brothers and my sisters, that I'm stating the obvious when I say that we are living in a very uptight world. Amen. This is an age of extreme tension and anxiety. I believe every one of us either has faced, is facing now, or will face situations that make us tense and rob us of peace of mind. The top leading cause of death in the United States is still heart disease. For men and women, black and white, rich and poor. And a major cause of heart attacks, strokes, and high blood pressure is tension and stress. For a lot of people I talk with, listen to, counsel, observe, etc., and maybe for you too, talking about both the churched as well as the unchurched, the general feeling and attitude that seems to be prevalent in their talk and demeanor is that they feel stuck in a world of confusion, wondering how peace could be possible for them when there's always something, some drama going on either in their own lives or in the lives of someone they know or love. For a lot of people, maybe some of you, they feel like a puppet on a string. You're asking yourself over and over again, how can I feel a constant and enduring inner peace in my heart and life when my emotions seesaw up and down according to what is happening in and around me? I'm talking to somebody. This is what keeps surfacing in a lot of people's minds and in their heart that fuels their spiritual search and leads them to want to discover a more peaceful way of life despite the conflict going on in their lives. You may not raise your hand or admit it out loud, but the deepest part of yourself, you want to be released from all the conflict going on in your life. For somebody, you want to learn how to not react to other people's words and other people's anger in order for you to feel some peace and serenity in your heart and in your life. Today, my brothers and my sisters, we want to go on to take a look at the life of Moses. Truly a man of faith, one of many. Yet if anybody had a right to be uptight, come on somebody, it was Moses, huh? He was called by God to lead approximately 2 million or so Israelites out of the land of Egypt. They were to cross the desert and go into a new country called Israel, aka the Promised Land. It was great that God had called Moses to such a task, but for nearly the entire time, guess what? The people complained, they argued, they fought. They spent 40 years wandering around in the wilderness, and I believe if Moses were here today, he would tell you himself that the task that God gave him was not easy no matter how you look at it or what anybody else has to say. Moses, my brothers and my sisters, had every right to be uptight, but hear me today, for the Bible tells us that the character of Moses, teach Holy Ghost, was that of gentleness and humbleness. You won't find this on your screen, but when you have time, read Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. And you'll read it, and you find this in the New American Standard Bible. It says, "Now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth." The Bible in basic English says it this way: "Now the man Moses was more gentle than any other man on earth." What are you saying, Pastor King? Here's what I'm saying. Humbleness and gentleness are attitudes that lead to quiet confidence, inner tranquility, and peace of mind. Humbleness and gentleness are attitudes, hear me today, that keep you from getting so ruffled, that keep you from getting so upset when things don't go your way. They are attitudes that say, listen, when everything is coming down on me, I'm going to look up. The attitudes that say, when everybody around me is uptight, hot, and bothered, I'm going to keep my cool. The attitudes that say, I'm going to do what's right, no matter what others around me are doing, teach Holy Ghost, or what is going on around me. Amen. So you got to ask yourself the question when you read the text. So why was Moses able to have such peace of mind? Why was he able to be at peace in and with himself? Well, we're going to teach it in a minute, but what the Holy Spirit showed me and I was able to glean is because he knew the answers to three basic questions. I want you to write them down. We'll put them on the screen in just a minute. But whether you are a teenager, a senior citizen, or somewhere in between, each of us eventually has to deal with these three basic questions. They are, who am I? Who do I want to be? And how am I going to live? Who am I? Who do I want to be? And how am I going to live? If you can learn the answers to those questions, who am I? Who do I want to be? And how am I going to live? I believe you'll learn how to be calm in a crisis. You'll learn how to be strong under stress. You'll learn how to be at peace under pressure. I'll say it again. I said, if you can learn some answers to these basic questions, you'll learn how to be calm in a crisis. You don't have to say it out loud. Anybody here been in any crisis lately? You learn how to be strong under stress. Anybody been under any stress lately? Come on, somebody. You learn to be at peace under pressure. And our text today, we're going to read how Moses dealt with all three of these questions. First question is how he dealt with, what he dealt with was, Who am I? Watch the text. Watch the text. You all know me. Hope you didn't close your Bibles. Watch the text. Verse 24 says, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. We're going to put a pin in it right there. Moses, when he grew up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, you know the story. Pharaoh had proclaimed that every newborn Jewish boy should be killed. But Moses' mother hid him in a little basket and in the reeds of the Nile River. I got some Bible readers in here. Pharaoh's daughter came along to bathe, and she found a little tartan lined basket floating in the water. In it was a little Jewish boy, Moses. Immediately, you all know the story, she fell in love with the baby, took him home with her, and she raised him right there in the Egyptian palace. Here's what we need to understand what's going on here. Teach, Holy Ghost. Moses was actually a Jew, but Pharaoh's daughter raised him as an Egyptian. Everybody thought he was a bona fide Egyptian. Years later, as he began to be groomed to be second in command in Egypt, Moses had to make a choice. He had to ask himself, what am I going to do? I know I'm a Jew, but am I going to keep on pretending that I'm an Egyptian? Lord, you better teach in this house. Am I going to keep living this lie? Moses had every comfort he could imagine in the palace. He could have simply stayed there. But Miller, Finley, everybody else, Moses had an identity crisis. At some point, it struck him. And he asked himself, who am I? Am I a Jew? Am I an Egyptian? Am I going to live with a bunch of Jewish slaves? Am I going to live here and live in luxury in the palace? What would you have done, huh? What decision would you have made? Every one of us must come to grips with this issue of identity. We all have a deep need to be accepted and to accept ourselves who we are. If you continue trying to be somebody you're really not, that's one of the quickest ways for you to get an ulcer. Amen. Moses recognized this tension and he decided to quit pretending. He accepted his true identity. Listen, I don't know who I'm talking to, as grown as we are, but if you want to have peace of mind, you need to know who you are and be true to yourself. It's a liberating experience when you relax and stop trying to be somebody you're not. Listen, the foundation for peace of mind is don't try to be someone you're not. Listen, relax. Be yourself. Come on, somebody. God made you, and he loves you just the way you are. Listen, funny shaped, goofy, strange, all of that. Come on, somebody. You are special to him. You can either pretend to be someone else, or you can accept God's plan and be who you were meant to be. Moses made the hard decision. It says, by faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Peer pressure and an identity crisis is bigger than just in elementary school middle school, and high school. It's a grown-up problem too. We got a whole lot of grown-ups who we got men walking around, or we got boys walking around in men's clothes. Come on, somebody. And we got some girls walking around in women's clothes. The other thing is we got to understand is we got some folk who even it's prevalent on the job, folk hiding who they really are. It's prevalent in your social circles. The biggest prevalence is in relationships. You got folk trying to be somebody that they think somebody else wants them to be. We got somebody trying to do the things that they think somebody else wants them to do. And this social media has just rocked our world. Photoshopping. You don't know who you're talking to behind that keyboard and behind that text messaging and all that stuff. Social media has messed us up. How in the world do we have to put the word selfie in the dictionary? Huh? Selfie. Taking pictures of ourselves. But wait a minute, but the picture ain't good enough. Because then we got to crop it, lighten it, darken it, cut folk out. Come on, somebody. Photoshop some folk in. All as a means of trying to make yourself look like somebody you're not. And some of the biggest predators that have been on the internet have been folk pretending to be somebody that somebody else thought they were talking to. Second question that Moses dealt with was not just who am I? Now you got to decide who do I want to be? Now that you've answered that question, who am I? Now you got to decide who you want to be. Where is that answer? Verse 25. It says, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. My brothers and my sisters, this is a matter of personal responsibility. The Bible says that Moses chose to be mistreated with the rest of God's people rather than to enjoy the sinful pleasures of Pharaoh's palace. That just spoke to somebody. We got a whole lot of folk. It is easier to run with the crowd. It is easier to go with the flow. No matter what you might be flowing or flowing into, or wait a minute, or might be flowing into and through you. Come on, somebody. But the Bible says Moses chose to be mistreated with the rest of God's people rather than to enjoy the pleasures of Pharaoh's palace. First, he refused to be what or who he really wasn't. Then he chose to go God's way. There's a principle here. The principle here, all of our decisions have consequences. Amen. But even good and right decisions have consequences. The choice he made, even though we make a good or a proper or right decision, the choice that Moses made resulted in ill treatment with the people of God. Not everybody is going to be happy when you want to do the right thing. Huh? Mm-mm. In and outside the church, some folk will turn on you for simply doing the right thing. He gave up the pleasures of sin, but he endured the ill treatment with his people. If you're taking notes, you can write this down, or maybe you can hear it later. The Christian life is not a matter of negative rules and regulations. You'll get that from some folk. Some folk think that's all Christianity is about, negative rules and regulations. No, let me teach something here. That's not what Christianity is about. That's all people hear. Thou shalt not. That's what some of the young people go. We can't do nothing. Grown folks say, I don't want to go to that church if I can't do this, that, and the other. Mm-mm. Let's debunk that now. The Christian life is not a matter of negative rules and regulations. Hear me today. The Christian life is a matter of relationships. It's a matter of a relationship with God. It's a matter of relationships with others. And it's a matter of, wait a minute, the biggest one is, it's a matter of relationship with yourself. My God. Listen. This is a matter of simply living true to God. And living true to God does not always bring earthly rewards, but it will always bring heavenly blessings from God. Moses' choice led him to a rough life, but it was a blessed life in the end. He chose his path. I'm talking to somebody. He chose his path, and he took personal responsibility for it. Now, let me break that one down. Because we live in a society that likes to blame other people and likes to blame other situations for their problems. No one, hear me today, no one wants to take the blame. But all of us love to give blame. But we all hate to be blamed. It's easy to blame others for your condition. Biggest one I hear is people say, I'd be more committed to Christ if my family were Christians. Or here's the bigger one, I'd be a better person today if I had better parents. I'd be a better person if I had more money. I'd be a better person. I'd be better off if I had better stuff. It's easy to blame others. But Moses didn't blame anyone or anything else. He assumed responsibility for his own life and decided to make his life count. This, my brothers and my sisters, is a critical step to living with peace of mind. I would tell you to tell your neighbor, but we got to tell this to ourselves. Accept your responsibilities. See, I would tell you to tell your neighbor, we've been telling each other that all our lives. It's easy. We quick to tell other folk, handle your business. But yet, we living in glass houses. Come on, somebody. We all need to accept our responsibilities. Now, I know I got thinking folk in here. I know. Because it's true. It is true. I can't, the Holy Spirit. Because I know what some of you are thinking. It's true, there are some things, many things in your life over which you have no control. You had no control over who your parents would be. You had no control over where you were born. You had no control over the genes that went into your DNA or your makeup. But there is one thing that every one of us have absolute control over, and that's how we're gonna respond towards life. It's your choice. You cannot choose all the circumstances that's gonna come into your life. But you can choose whether or not those things will make you bitter or better. It's your choice. It's your responsibility. So accept your responsibilities. Which leads me to the third and final question Moses dealt with, which was, how am I going to live? Final issue that Moses had to settle was the matter of what I call perseverance. You can actually sum up Moses' life in two words. He endured. We got too many folk in and out the church who are just barely hanging on. But the Bible says he endured. Watch the text, verse 27. It says, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him, big H, who is unseen. Moses made a success of his life because he endured. That's why I can stand on when I say giving up is always too soon. It's always too soon. The key to his peace of mind was that he knew difficulties would come in every life, but he faced those things head on. As Christians, hear me today, as Christians, we should never let problems destroy us. But because we all have problems, we should minimally let our problems draw us closer to God. I heard someone say we should never let problems get us down unless it's to our knees in prayer. I say it again. I said, we should never let problems get us down unless it is to our knees in prayer. God allows things to happen in our lives, whether divine or permissive. And when people ask sometimes, I'm like, I don't know, because God says his thoughts are way above mine. His ways are way above mine. So we must petition God, but the one thing we cannot do is lose sight of God. Because even when all we can see is a negative, we miss the beauty that's still around us. The Bible says that everything God made was good. Everything. And so even when we look at each other, even with the mess going on around the world, God is still good. God is still good. And and we must understand that the Bible is clear that God is not the author of confusion. And so in your world or around the world, whatever, but you cannot be so taken in by what you see and hear, whatever the medium, that you miss hearing the voice of God. Because God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And while things are difficult for you, don't let them drive you crazy. Let them drive you to the cross. God didn't call us to be cool or popular. He didn't call us to be big man or big woman on campus. Come on, somebody. But he also didn't call us to be snobs or self-righteous. He didn't call us to try to go viral, to be famous, or to have the most followers we can on social media. He called us to be faithful, period. And that's what we need to do. He called us to be faithful, and we need to be faithful to the end. As I get ready to close, Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5 says this, New King James Version this time, says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. When we place our trust in Christ, No matter what your crisis is, we realize that we are redeemed. We are declared righteous by faith. Our sins, hear me today, because that's the one big one that hangs over us. Our sins are forgiven. And here's the biggest deal. We now have peace with God. That's a big deal because Christ died for our sins. But not only do you then have peace with God, you can now pull on and have peace of God because of what Jesus has done. Then Jesus himself said in John 14:27, again in the New King James Version, he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." In other words, he's saying, and you know, like we love to say, he's saying the peace I'm leaving with you is a gift. It's a peace of mind and heart. And here it is. He's saying it's a peace and a gift that the world can't give, but the world can't take it away. Not if you don't misplace your responsibility to hold on to the gift that God gave you. So to somebody here, don't be troubled. I know there's trouble all around us, but don't be so troubled and don't be so afraid. The peace of God stands guard and keeps worry from corroding our hearts. And it keeps those negative thoughts from tearing up our minds. That, my brothers and my sisters, is the kind of peace that we have. That peace that passes all understanding. It's a peace that deals with our past. It's a peace that deals with our present, and it's a peace with a guaranteed promise for our future. We have peace from the guilt of our past. Somebody needs to know you are forgiven. Amen. But until you recognize that, you're going to still hold on to something against yourself. You are forgiven, so forgive yourself and then release somebody else that you're holding a grudge against. And even if they still holding a grudge against you, release it in Jesus' name. We have a peace that deals with our past, a peace that deals with our present, and it guarantees our promise for the future. We have a peace that deals with the trials, tribulations that we are dealing with today, because let me tell you, they are already overcome by Christ. We have a peace of our future destination and our destiny in Christ. But here it is. Without persistence, you won't go very far in life. Peace of mind comes when you know who you are, and then most importantly, whose you are. When you accept responsibility for choices in your life, in other words, choosing God's priorities, and when you face your difficulties head on. That, my brothers and sisters, becomes some powerful lessons of ways for creating and achieving in a peace that endures. The doors of the church are open.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.